every year you got to go out and prove that you're better than everybody else.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with former Major League Baseball player Pete Incaviglia, who played 12 years in Major League Baseball, has been named the manager for the Tri-City Valley Cats for 2021 and 2022, now that the Valley Cats, who used to be an affiliate of the Astros, are going to the Independent Frontier League. Incaviglia is the all-time home run leader in a single season and a college career in Division I baseball, and he burned up the majors as a rookie in 1986 with 30 home runs. I spoke with Incaviglia about his plans for the Valley Cats and his playing career. What do you see as your role here coming to Troy as the manager? Because you've got to build the roster and also coach the team.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's my job to put together a group of players that the organization and the fans will enjoy and enjoy coming to the ballpark and play a, type of game that is exciting and fun for the fans.
What attracted you to this position?
I've been in independent baseball for a long time and heard nothing but great things about the Gladstone family and Rick Murphy and Matt Callahan and the strong front office that they have, and heard a lot of great things about the fans and the Tri-City area. And it was kind of a no-brainer for me, strong front office, great community support and great fan base. And, I told Matt, where do I sign up?
Do you have any idea how the season's going to look this year, given the fact that, the pandemic is still ongoing and we don't know, what kind of fans will be allowed in, travel, all those things seem to be open questions still.
Yeah, I think that's probably more of a question for Matt and Rick. As far as I know and I've heard, we're moving forward, as if we're going to, start playing in either late May or 1st of June. I'm moving forward as if, we're going to play a 96-game schedule and get a couple weeks of spring training starting, middle of May sometime, May 10th or 11th. And I'm moving forward until somebody tells me not to.
What has this winter been like for you, given all the changes in the minor league landscape that we've seen, coast to coast? It's really what's kind of led to you coming to Troy in some ways.
I was fortunate enough to be a part of this, the Constellation League last year, during the Houston area was one of the worst areas for COVID. And, we had, 100 plus players there and played a 48 game schedule and, went through testing and, have tested once a week. And, we managed to do, a real good job bubbling our players. So I learned a lot in that process in this COVID era. So I think that, with, that learning experience, I think that's, obviously going to help us moving forward.
What's your approach to winning at this level?
Well, I mean, it's no secret. You win with, with great horses. It's about bringing in talented players. Obviously, they're not finished products or, they'd be an affiliated ball or in a big league. So you try and find the best talent out there, and then, you still got to instruct and teach them. And that's kind of, where I've had my success is, finding the most talented players that are out there and then, trying to mold them and try and help them, with their strengths and their weaknesses and try and teach them, how to prepare and play a game and, how to, grind every day and, don't take any pitches off.
Failure is such a big part of baseball. How do you keep people positive when, as you said, they're in independent baseball, they might be very talented, but things might not have gone exactly how they wanted so far, or they might be in a slump. What's your message to players in a situation like that?
Yeah, when things are going good, players, don't really need their manager or coaches. It's when things are going through a rough patch. you know, it's about, you know, earning the respect of the players and to get to know them and you know, what's going on in their life and you know, try to show them that, you know, that you care about them, you know, not only on the field, but also off the field. And, you know, for me, it's just about, you know, building that relationship and making that relationship between, you know, manager and player the best it can be.
What do you know about the Frontier League so far?
Well, you know, I've known Bill Lee, the commissioner, for a long time, and you know, it's a strong league. It's, you know, got strong leadership. You know, the people that, you know, are governing the league are high integrity people, and I've always heard nothing but great things about the league. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to see, you know, all 16 teams and 16 different organizations, and looking forward to my first year in the Frontier League.
You talked a little bit about this a moment ago, but how do you actually go about putting the roster together? Are players coming from around the country? Are they a lot of just out of college players? What's the makeup of an average roster?
Yeah, well, the makeup is this. You know, you get 10 players with 1 year or less professional experience, and then you get another 10 players with, you know, that are experienced, that are under the age of 29, and then you get three more players. You can have three more players over the age of 29. You know, normally you get them from all over the world. You know, I mean, you know, we used to do a lot of visa stuff and bring guys in from, you know, Canada, Australia, you know, Asia, you know, Dominican, Venezuela. But, you know, with the COVID and you know, the way things are, visa-wise, probably will be, you know, pulling players just probably from the United States now.
I see. You know, typically the Houston-affiliated Valley Cats would change managers every year because, you know, they were on their own schedule with the franchise or whatever. But you're going to be here for a 2-year deal. Why did you want to sign for 2021 and 2022?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that the fact that if you hire somebody to manage your team, you know, year one is, I'm sure there's a lot of learning experience. So I felt like for me to give, you know, this a real go and, you know, also for me to have a real opportunity, you know, I think, you know, if I can't, you know, bring a team into the playoffs and win a championship in 2 years, that means I'm not doing my job.
Do you put a lot of pressure on yourself?
I mean, you know, I really don't. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I'm the same guy that played for 12 years. Is, you know, I expect a lot out of myself. You know, I'm not going in this to, you know, finish in second and third place. I'm going in this to win championships. I mean, that's what it's all about, and that's what the organization hired me to do. And, you know, if I don't win a championship, I considered it a failed year, to be honest with you. You know, because that's my job. I mean, that's anybody who's in charge of a sports team and is in charge of managing that sports team. I mean, you know, if I don't believe that I can win a championship, how can I get anybody else around me to believe it?
Would you like to manage in the big league someday?
Don't know. You know, that's a great question. I guess if the right opportunity arose, but you know, I spent my day in the sun, had my 12 and a half years in the big leagues. I really like the independent baseball model. I feel like it gives me the freedom to really help players who, for whatever reason, you know, have, you know, some guys are late bloomers. You know, some guys made mistakes when they're younger. Some guys, you know, had injuries. You know, so it's just so much. It's so rewarding to be able to be a part of a player's life where his dreams and aspirations are to get an affiliated ball and play in the major leagues and have the opportunity to be a part of that journey for him.
We're talking to Pete Incaviglia, the new manager of the Tri-City Valley Cats, who are joining the Frontier League for the next season. I have a question about analytics. We know it's infiltrated baseball, especially from the top down in terms of how decisions are made. Will that play a role in how you make decisions as a manager?
I'm not an all-out analytical guy. I think there's parts of it that are really interesting. But I also feel that, there's a human element in sports. And, until the analytics can measure a man's heart and desire and passion to play the game, I think that that's got to play a part too. You still got to have a feel for, what's going on in front of you in the game and, what type of a game that, this particular game is. Is it a pitcher's duel? Is it a slugfest? Is it, how are the matchups looking? From that, with the human element involved, I still think that you got to have a little old school feel. But on the other side, I like some of the analytics. I like moving my defense and maybe, rolling, a dead pull left-handed hitter and taking away, that four hole over there and taking away the middle of the field away from them. So there are some things that analytics provide that I think is very interesting and very good, but I just think it's a combination of both. I kind of use a combination of both. It's a good marriage.
People who remember your playing career will know you moved around a lot and you played for a lot of different managers. Can you point to anything that you learned from a manager that sticks with you now that you're in that role with younger players?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. I played for Bobby Valentine for my first 5 years, and then I played for Sparky Anderson and Jim Fregosi and Art Howe and got a cup of coffee with Joe Torre and the Yankees and played with Davey Johnson with the Orioles. But I would say the person that left the biggest mark on me would probably be Jim Fregosi from Philadelphia and Sparky Anderson. Just how they were so good at their relationships with the players and earning the trust of the players to where they motivated their players to go out and play every game and play every pitch and, grind every at bat, grind every pitch. I mean, it's, that's what it's all about. And, I learned a lot from Sparky, with the way he treated his players. Sparky would walk by your locker and say, "Hey man, how you doing? How's your family? How's your kids?" Just showed that he cared, more about you than just, the number on your back and, what can you do for me on the field. It's about, building relationships and taking those relationships to, do something special.
You were an absolute basher in college, and when you came to the big leagues, ironically, you jumped over the minor leagues where you're now coaching, but you came to the big leagues and just had a torrid rookie season with 30 home runs, and you were just 22 at the time. When you look back on that season, what do you make of that early success? Because so many people really struggle when they get to the big leagues.
I would say that I was lucky. I had a group of veteran major leaguers with the Texas Rangers that kind of took me under their wing and kind of showed me how to be a professional on and off the field. I did struggle in April my first year, which I call a learning curve, and I think that I owe a lot of gratitude for the Texas Rangers organization and the manager Bobby Valentine for sticking with me and let me get through that. And rest is history. I played another 12 and a half years after that, but it's just, I had really good people around me, a real good support system, a manager who believed in me, an organization that believed in me, and I think that was probably the biggest thing that, contributed to my success that rookie year.
What do you think of the idea of a universal designated hitter?
Well, I know everybody, I think, really likes the designated hitter, but I'm a little bit like the pitcher being, that ninth hitter, because, with that said, it involves your bench a lot more, because you can strategize a little bit, with, guys are getting into the game a lot more in the National League with not having a DH, because your bench players become important, because, you got to have guys that can play multiple positions. If your starting pitcher's struggling, you're going to get, three guys on that bench may get at bats, and it keeps the entire team into the game. With a DH, basically, you really don't pinch hit. You send the same nine guys up all the time, and your bench players, don't get a lot of action. So for me, being a team guy and a team sport, I just like the fact that the pitcher has to hit, because it allows you to actually, maybe build a stronger team with your bench players become a very important part of what's going on during the season.
Does the Frontier League start a runner on second in extra innings or no?
As far as I know, I don't think so. I don't think they play international rules.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the other things that I was very excited about. The Atlantic League is trying all these new rules with, bigger bases, and if the ball gets by the catcher, you can steal first, and, all these kind of strange new rules. And as far as I know, the Frontier League pretty much plays with the same rules as Major League Baseball. But I don't know if – I'm really not exactly sure if they play international rules. I've actually had that in the American Association where I was. We did that one year, and we did that one year in the Atlantic League. But, for me, I prefer to, play the old school way, and, because that's part of the strategy of the game is, knowing, if that game may be going extra innings and saving enough pitching to, actually try and win that game in the 11th or 12th inning.
I'm with you. I mean, no one asked me, but I'm just a fan. It should be hard to get a runner to second base. That's the whole point of it. It's not easy to
right,
do.
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, I just don't think it's fair, I mean, and quite frankly, I've actually played under those rules, and most of the time it goes another one or two innings anyway, so what's the difference? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, why would you give somebody second base when they didn't have to earn it?
Last thing for you, Pete, you're a player who moved around a lot during your big league career. And I'm just wondering from the player's perspective, when it gets down to the trade deadline or the waiver wire or even between seasons and you have to, pick up and start somewhere new the next season, what's that experience like for a player?
Well, I mean, no matter what, no matter who you are, whether you've been with a team for 5 years or, your first year, you have to go in and prove that you're the best player for that job. So it doesn't really matter to most players. Is every year you got to go out and prove that you're better than everybody else and you deserve the right to start at that position. So, whether you're going into, you just got traded and you're going to a new team, or, this is your third year with the same team, you still got players in the organization that are, still trying to take your job. And, when you go to a new place, obviously, you want to earn everybody's respect, you want to play well and earn the respect of the organization and the coaching staff and the players you play with.
Well, Pete Incaviglia, we're very excited to welcome you to the Capital Region, the new manager of the Tri-City Valley Cats. I'm sure we'll catch up when baseball season's a little closer, but it's nice to think of those summer nights right now. Thank you so much for taking all this time.
It's been a pleasure. Anytime. Look forward to more conversations.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.